Romans chapter 8, 18 through 27. Let's hear God's word. The Apostle Paul writes, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly, as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come to you now, asking that you would feed us with your word, that you would open up our hearts and our minds, that we may see Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. You know, it only starts with two little words. It's just a brief phrase that we say maybe every day, but when it's put into the soil of discontentment, then a large problem emerges. We think about it all the time. Short phrase, and it is, if only. If only I were making more money. You know, if only I had a better job. If I only had a happy marriage. If only my children were good. Short phrase. I bet you have thought about it many times before. But it does not make you happy. It does not make you content. It starts with only two little words, but usually it ends in broken homes, broken marriages, depression, hurt, unfulfillment. Even our culture, not even to mention the church, but our culture tells us that we should strive for self-fulfillment. If only you have this, then try to get that. If only you have that, try and get that. Affirm yourself. Still, there's an important truth that often gets neglected. The cup, it is half full, but it's also half empty. So, preacher, why do you want to focus today on negative things? Well, I'm going to be honest with you. And you know it, you just probably haven't verbalized it yet. Spiritual maturity requires you to learn to live with unfulfillment. Let me say it again. Spiritual maturity requires you to learn how to live in an unfulfilled world. unfulfillment is part of the Christian life. Unfulfillment is part of the Christian life. What makes unfulfillment really difficult is that not only does the culture say that you should strive for a fulfilled life, but the church many times does as well. Go for it. Be all you can be. I'm thinking about the Burger King commercial that says, "You rule." What do I rule over? Hamburgers? You know, how is that fulfilling? But no, that's what they say. You rule. In this type of thinking, unfulfillment is labeled as being unspiritual. If you have it, people will tell you something must be wrong with your faith. But the truth is, you will never reach that false idea that you have in the Christian life. Your job will never be perfect. Your marriage will never be perfect. Your children will never be perfect. You will never truly be fulfilled in this life. See, part of the problem is that we're fed this by the culture, and we're fed this by bad theologians. And so when you are unfulfilled and you know you're unfulfilled, you think something is wrong with you. But you're not wrong. Unfulfillment is part of the Christian life. The Apostle Paul, writing to believers in Rome, he honestly faced this kind of brokenness. In the middle of the 8th chapter, he stops and he recognizes the sufferings of this present world. Now, he's not thinking about minor irritations, like, you know, when your basketball team loses. That's irritating, isn't it? But that's not the type of suffering the Apostle Paul is talking about in chapter 8 of Romans. He's talking about you, the Christian, learning to live with a half-empty cup, with unfulfillment in this life. All right, put your thinking cap on, because here it comes. You know that feeling that you have, that you are inadequate. That feeling that you have that something's missing from your life. That's the Holy Spirit directing you away from yourself so that you would look to Christ Jesus. Paul writes and says, we groan inwardly. You see, put it in theological context. You groan inwardly. You know something's wrong. You know that you are inadequate. You know that you are unfulfilled. And instead of thinking, something's wrong with me, no, you need to read the scriptures and find out that this is part of the Christian life. It's part of the Christian life. Paul says, we groan inwardly. Do you groan inwardly? Dealing with the world, the flesh, and the devil? I hope so. Because it is a sign of spiritual growth. He says, we groan inwardly as we wait for the adoption of as sons, the very redemption of our bodies. We don't have the Spirit of God in its fullness yet. Our cup is being fulfilled, but while it is being fulfilled, it is still unfulfilled. We live consistently with partial fulfillment. The cup is always half empty. Now, why do we need to keep this before us? Well, because living the Christian life is very difficult. Living the Christian life can require pain and suffering. And you need to know that when you have that pain and suffering, when you have that difficulty as a Christian, it is not a sign that you are cast off. It is a sign that you are being conformed to the image of Christ. And just as He was a man of sorrows, the Holy Spirit is going to bring you into situations where you are going to be people of sorrows. You are going to experience difficulties, unfulfillment, so that you will come to understand what Christ went through for you. We, as the Apostle Paul writes, we begin to participate in the sufferings of Christ. You know, the ball player, the baseball player, he wants to win the championship. They all do. But in order to do that, there must be a time of conditioning. They must go through spring practice, and they do so in order to win the prize. But spring practice ain't no cakewalk. It is difficult. It is painful. But those who persevere are the ones who receive the crown. Let me just tell you, the God who has redeemed you, He's the God who holds you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. The Apostle Paul wrote about a thorn in the flesh. Now, this was not an isolated individual thorn in the flesh. Okay? It was something that was continuous in the Apostle Paul's life. It may ease for a while, but then it flares back up. And he even says that part of part of who has sent this upon him is a messenger of Satan. So there is this spiritual aspect to this thorn in the flesh that the Apostle Paul was experiencing. Paul said he prayed 3 times. That's more than most of us pray at all, isn't it? Said he prayed 3 times that the Lord would take it away. And the Lord didn't do that. Lord, why would you allow suffering in my life? Why would you allow this thorn in the flesh to continue all of my life? Don't you realize everything that I've done for you? I've planted churches. I have called people to faith in Christ. So why are you going to let this thorn in the flesh remain in my life? It hurts. It's painful. It's humbling. There you go, you got it. The Apostle Paul says that he prayed and there was no answer. But then something else happened. And he learned that God's grace was sufficient. The one thing he discovered in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of his unfulfilled life, is that God's grace is sufficient. Sufficient? Sufficient for what? Well, he doesn't go into a long discourse about it. He just says that God's grace is sufficient enough for you to persevere with this difficulty. It's enough to give you hope. You see, what was happening was Paul was having this thorn in the flesh, but he's able to see the reality of it, and he realizes, I don't like this thorn in the flesh, but now that it's come to me, it makes me depend upon the grace of Christ. How valuable is that? Would you rather never be sick? Or would you prefer a sickness that will draw you to Christ? It is sufficient enough, even though we have to drink from a half full empty cup. The psalmist, he came to understand, King David, he came to understand that in his troubles and in his sorrows, he has learned to look to the one who could really help him. And so he says in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? See, he knew. He knew what he really needed. He came to understand what he really wanted. It was not the absence of pain in his life, but the sufficiency of God's grace in the midst of pain. That's what he wanted. And that's what he received. Your cup, I'm sorry, it will always be half full. If you're expecting God to let you win the lottery, he may, I don't know. But that's not one of the things we should be praying for in the Bible, you know. He may allow several types of earthly blessings like that. But when he does, the trick of God is Satan means this for your destruction. I mean it for your good. Remember Joseph and his brothers? Joseph says to his brothers, Joseph had become second in charge of all of Egypt. His brothers showed up to get some grain so they wouldn't perish. And then when they found out that they had to go to their brother Joseph, whom they had tried to kill, boy, their knees started knocking, sweat coming up on their head. They knew that they were in the valley of the shadow of death. And there was no one there to help them. But the Holy Spirit had been working upon Joseph. And Joseph says to his brothers who tried to kill him, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. So my friend, when you are experiencing that unfulfillment in your life, and you're going to experience that, you are going to experience that. When you experience it, understand that Satan means it for harm, but God means it for good. Immediately after our passage, Paul says, in dealing with suffering, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. You've got an unfulfilled life ahead of you. Don't despair. It's part of the Christian life. If you were to be totally fulfilled in this life, would you ever learn then that God's grace is sufficient? No, you wouldn't. You would think that you're sufficient. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to direct you away from yourself and direct you to the very heart of God, who is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You that we are more than conquerors through Christ. We thank You that even in difficult times, even with an unfulfilled life, that Your grace is sufficient for us. Oh, Heavenly Father, give us humble hearts. Give us grace to focus upon Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Let's close our worship service this morning.